From the lands where bison roam, wolves howl, and eagles soar over the wild and free Yellowstone River, this is That Scott Guy You Know and Love with a new episode of This Week in Yellowstone. What's up, everybody? This week in Yellowstone National Park, February 27th to March 5th, 2025, I share the location of a roadside bear den, recommend a scientific newsletter about the Yellowstone supervolcano, share yet another awesome hike to take when there's still snow on the ground, and give you all of the weather, wildlife, and road updates you'll need to enjoy your time visiting Yellowstone National Park this coming week. That was done in one breath, and that was a bit much, but anyway, standard disclaimer, I might miss a few things here and there, so if there's anything else you'd like to know about the park right now, just reach out to me. I also mention park locations casually, so a quick search might help if you're unfamiliar with an area I mention. Also, this report only covers the drivable areas of the park. All right, before I get started, I want to let you know that this podcast is a labor of love. If you enjoy what I'm doing, let me know with a review or just send me an email. I've gotten a few emails from some listeners. Absolutely appreciate them. You all are the best. And when you do visit the park, consider booking a hiking tour with me. Picture yourself hiking the trails with me, where I'm sharing the best spots, hidden gems, and all the incredible wildlife stories, history, and geology that the park has to offer. I also give all of my tour guests as much information as possible to ensure that their trip continues to be amazing when our hike is done. My guided hiking tours will forever change how you view Yellowstone, giving you an unforgettable adventure beyond the boardwalks. If you'd like to know more, reach out to me directly or check out my current guided hiking options at outdoor-society.com. Let's make your Yellowstone adventure one to remember this year. Okay, so on to the news. This week's Yellowstone news. Seasonal worker numbers in national parks are expected to rise in 2025. Following a pause in seasonal hiring that raised concerns about staffing, Yellowstone may actually see an increase in workers compared to last year. According to KBZK in Bozeman, the National Park Service plans to expand seasonal hiring from 6,300 in 2024 to 7,700 in 2025. It remains unclear how many of these positions will be allocated to Yellowstone, but the increase could help address staffing needs during the busy summer months. This week's other news is also a sign that spring is coming soon. This is the last week you'll be able to take a snow coach into the interior for Mammoth Hot Springs, as well as access Canyon and Norris by snow coach and snowmobile for Mammoth and West Yellowstone. The park website states that the season will end for Mammoth on March 2nd, 2025, and then on March 4th, Norris to Madison, Norris to Canyon, and Canyon Village to Washburn Hot Springs Overlook will all be closed to snowcoach and snowmobile travel. The rest of the interior is going to close to oversnow travel by March 15th. It's kind of a staggered closure. I'll mention it next week. My experience of the week. I struggled with wanting to share this experience. It's not because it's not cool, but sometimes it's just not as exciting as it should be. And what experience am I talking about? The visible bear den near the petrified tree. So located at the large pullout near the petrified tree turnout between Floating Island Lake and Tower Junction, there's a chance to look into a bear's den. This black bear den has been used 3 out of the last 4 years and is a good quick stop when heading to or from Lamar Valley. While it may seem kind of lame with your naked eye, with a pair of binoculars or a spotting scope, you might get a glimpse of the bear. Occasionally, the bear will have its face out of the hole, or a paw, or sometimes you can just see its rump. You know, exciting. The reason I don't find it too exciting sometimes is because more often than not, you're just looking across a gully and staring into a hole. That being said, I stop there every single time I'm in the park. It's just worth it to see if the bear is out. Now, I get that I am a little negative about this experience. You may be able to tell by my voice, but I'm trying not to be because there is a chance that you might actually get to see the bear leaving its den. There's also a chance that you won't see much of anything. But the last gasps of deep winter are possibly behind us, so the bear will be getting more active. So each and every week, the chances of seeing an active bear here increase, so definitely check it out. By the way, not sure if I've mentioned this before. I can guarantee I'm going to mention it again, but bears do not truly hibernate. Instead, they enter a state called denning or winter torpor. Hibernation and torpor are both states of reduced metabolic activity used by animals to conserve energy. Torpor is a short-term, temporary state of lowered body temperature and metabolism, often lasting for hours or days. Hibernation is a prolonged deep sleep of dormancy with significantly reduced body temperatures, heart rate, and metabolism. Hibernation usually lasts weeks or months. And unlike true hibernators, a bear's body temperature during torpor drops only slightly, and this allows them to wake up more easily if disturbed, if there is a food source, or it starts warming up. They also remain capable of giving birth and nursing cubs during this period. All right, the tip of the week. One of the many conversations I hear from people visiting Yellowstone is about the supervolcano. From inquiring about the likelihood of an eruption to curiosity about how the plumbing works and the thermal features, people love the idea of the supervolcano. This week, my tip is to check out a super cool resource that'll help you learn everything you'd ever want to know about the caldera. The Yellowstone Caldera Chronicles is something you should check out. Yellowstone Caldera Chronicles is a weekly column written by scientists and collaborators of the Yellowstone Volcanic Observatory. While often covering very complex issues, the writing in this newsletter is fantastic and mostly easy to understand. With the first post being way back in December 1st of 2003, there is a lot of information available. You can sign up to receive each week's post in your email, making it even easier to learn all about the Yellowstone Caldera. Just search the Yellowstone Caldera Chronicles or go to my website or this podcast website where the link should work for it. All right, the weather for the coming week. Lamar Valley. It's going to be toasty for the part of this coming week, the first part. Highs in Lamar are going to be in the low to mid-40s through Sunday, with lows during that time in the 20s and teens. On Monday, there's a slight chance of snow showers as the colder weather returns. Highs from Monday to Wednesday are going to be in the 30s and lows in the teens. Cook City, just like Lamar, Cook City will be warm for this time of the year on Thursday through Sunday, with highs in the 40s and lows in the teens. Monday may see some snow, but not that much, and the high is going to be in the mid-30s. Then temperatures drop lower on Tuesday and Wednesday with highs in the upper 20s and a chance of snow each day. Very low chance, though, currently. Gardner's weather is going to be warmer this week with highs in the 40s and even the low 50s over the weekend. Lows will still be in the teens and 20s, though. And on Monday, expect cooler temperatures and clouds with highs in the 30s and lows in the 20s. Tuesday and Wednesday will be partly sunny with highs in the 30s and lows in the 20s. Now, as always, temperatures may be higher or lower than I say, and snowfall amounts may also be higher or lower. The area is hard to predict, especially more than a day or two out. The snowpack update. The snowpack in Yellowstone is looking pretty good. Well, it could be higher. It's hovering around the 90% of normal range and higher, nowhere really in the park above 100%. At this time in 2024, the snowpack was in the upper 60% of normal range for most of the park. The warmth that's going to be here this week will maybe drop the snowpack a little, but it shouldn't change anything substantially. With that, the road conditions. The roads this week should be pretty good. You'll still have some sections of snow and ice here and there, but generally I anticipate pretty smooth sailing as you drive the park. Expect road conditions to worsen the closer you get to Cook City. I got excited about saying Cook City. Now, for up-to-date information, you can call 307-344-2117 for recorded road information, or you can sign up to receive Yellowstone road alerts on your phone by texting 82190 to the number 888-777. Once again, if you text the number 888-777 with the message 82190, you will be signed up for road alerts for Yellowstone. Anticipate road closures due to inclement weather and dangerous driving conditions anytime, especially right now. Those storms on Monday, Tuesday might be heavier, so just be prepared. Camping information. You know how every week I say not to go camp at Mammoth because winter camping doesn't seem fun? Well, if you're wanting a winter camping experience this winter in Yellowstone, this is the week. With warm, for us, temperatures, a camping adventure at Mammoth could be quite fun. Honestly, if my van was running, I'd be considering a night or two down there. It would be pretty fun, and when it's not going to be below zero at night, great. All right, the wildlife watching update. The bison are on the move. The last few times I've been in the park, I have gotten in bison jams, one after the other. Expect that. Also expect to see some coyotes. Expect to see some moose out by Round Prairie by Pebble Creek. And then, obviously, you know, there's that fox out by Cook City you can and should go check out. Obviously, when you're out looking at that one, don't feed it. Try to stay far away from it. Yes, it's habituated. Yes, people are feeding it. But, like, try and keep it wild as best you can. Elsewhere in the park, there have been some bighorn sheep hanging around the confluence of Soda Butte Creek and the Lamar River. There have also been some bighorn sheep near the Yellowstone River picnic area, which is that construction area where they're building the new bridge. There's also been wolf sightings around Slough Creek, and then as you're up on the plateau from Mammoth, by the start of the Blacktail Plateau Trail. They're going to be way out in that area. So if you want to see the wolves, they're out there. You'll probably have a chance to see them this week with the good weather, but just know, chances are they're going to be pretty far away. Elsewhere, I've heard of some people seeing the pygmy owl again. Bald eagles and golden eagles are kind of everywhere, and we should be getting some osprey soon. Probably not any right now, but you never know, so keep an eye out for them. Also, red-tailed hawks, things like that. Pronghorn are kind of working their way down through Paradise Valley, and elk, if you want to see lots of them, drive into Paradise Valley or just north of Gardner, and there's going to be a ton of elk if you start scanning for them on the west side of the river, usually. All right. If you love what you heard on this podcast and want more information on wildlife watching, please consider picking up a copy of my Wildlife Watching Guidebook to the Region. It's available in both ebook and paperback formats. My book was written to help you spot wildlife like a seasoned local, or at least like me. So please consider buying a book directly from me, as I make nothing when they're sold on Amazon. If you'd like a copy, you can go to outdoor-society.com, or you can just send me a message and I'll happily send you the link. So hiking news and updates. If you're snowshoeing or cross-country skiing this week, expect some pretty bad snow. It's going to be garbage in a lot of places. With the warm temperatures during the day and freezing overnight, it's going to be slick and hard snow in spots. You're going to punch through even with snowshoes. It's not going to be the most fun for the first part of the week. I think by early next week, so that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it could be a lot better. If you're going to be doing the short boardwalk hikes, expect slushy conditions during the day and slick icy paths in the morning hours. My trek of the week. It is the Lost Lake and Lost Creek Falls view. So the trail to Lost Lake in the upper viewpoint of Lost Creek Falls is often overlooked, much like many other trails that I feature in my guidebook. While the Petrified Tree area remains a popular destination, few individuals venture beyond the well-trodden paved path, and that's in the summer, and few still do this in the winter. It is not a popular place to go, which can give you some pretty nice isolation. Those who do make their way to the Caged Tree, which is where the first stop goes after you walk along the road in the winter months, have an opportunity to expand their adventure and step off the beaten track to experience the tranquility of Lost Lake, along with the breathtaking view of the frozen over Lost Creek Falls. The trail to the lake is extremely easy to follow, passing through a narrow gap between the hills before arriving in an open area that houses the lake. When you're hiking that way, stay on the left of the lake. In the winter, the lake is going to be frozen and snow-covered, creating a wide open expanse for you to wander and look for animal tracks. I have seen most of the major animal tracks here in the snow, including wolves. Beyond the lake, the trail crosses a quaint little bridge over a small creek and then enters a forest and darts toward the top of the canyon. Keep your expectations of walking atop a canyon low, as the forest keeps it mostly hidden as you traverse around it. After crossing another small bridge over the creek, so you'll be on the east side, you'll head along the opposite side of the canyon. The trees remain, but more glimpses of the canyon begin emerging to your left. Keep an eye out for clearings as you near the end of the canyon. as there's a few spots to follow boot paths, hopefully they're there, to the canyon rim and see the majestic Lost Creek Falls. Just be cautious of cornices on the canyon rim. You should be fine, but be aware that, you know, don't get super close to the edge. It's not that safe. So if you're going to do this from that parking area where the bear den is, it's about a 5.5-mile out-and-back trek in the winter with about 200 feet of elevation gain and loss. If you want more information on this route, please contact me and I'll be happy to give it to you. It's also featured in my guidebook. I know I'm talking about that a lot, but, you know, I'm doing this, so I wanted to mention that. It's featured in my hiking guidebook, Beyond the Boardwalks, Yellowstone National Park. And again, it is over 50 of my favorite hikes in the region, so consider picking this up directly from me and avoid Amazon if you can, just so, you know, I can make money off of this and not lose it to a billionaire. That's about as political as I'm probably going to get on this one, but that's this episode. If you've enjoyed this, you know, rate it, review it, let me know. You can also send me an email. I appreciate those. Otherwise, I truly hope you get to visit Yellowstone this week. And if you don't get a visit this week, make a plan to visit soon. And I'm happy to help you make sure that it's going to be the best trip ever. Till next week. Bye. This Week in Yellowstone is brought to you by the Outdoor Society, because that's my company, and that's where this is hosted. There are no sponsors. This is a labor of love, so thank you all for listening. Copyright 2025, baby!